Divorce is a controversial subject. Within the evangelical Christian community, ministers and theologians disagree sharply about divorce. Some deny divorce on any grounds. Others allow for divorce but disagree on the grounds for it. Some agree on the grounds and disagree about the acceptability of remarriage for divorced people. Apparently, divorce has always been a controversial subject. It was a controversial subject in first century Palestine, and that is the reason that the Pharisees came to Jesus with a question about divorce in our text for today. The first thing that we must understand is that this discussion about divorce originated with a question, and the question was asked by enemies of Jesus with hostile intent. That is point number one. The question about divorce was asked with hostile intent. Notice Mark chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. "And he left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan, and crowds gathered to him again. And again, as was his custom, he taught them. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?'" The people who asked the question were Pharisees, and Pharisees were enemies of Jesus. They asked the question about divorce in order to test him. The Pharisees were the men who held sway with the people in matters of religion and the law of God. They had gained a privileged position of authority over the people, and they enjoyed their position, and they were all about holding on to their position as the religious leaders. The Pharisees felt threatened by Jesus because he challenged their religious beliefs and practices. Their interpretation of the law conflicted with Jesus' interpretation of the law, and Jesus' character was impeccable. They could not find any flaws in his teaching or his life. He answered all of their challenges and left them embarrassed. Now let me just give you a little summary of some of the confrontations between the Pharisees and Jesus. The Pharisees challenged Jesus about his disciples not fasting according to tradition. Jesus responded, "How can the guest of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them, but the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast." The Pharisees challenged Jesus about his disciples plucking heads of grain and eating it on the Sabbath. Jesus responded, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Pharisees criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. Jesus responded, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" The Pharisees accused Jesus of being possessed by Beelzebub. Jesus responded, "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand." The Pharisees saw some of Jesus' disciples eating food with hands that were ceremonially unclean, with unwashed hands. They asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." The Pharisees asked Jesus, "Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Jesus, aware of their malicious intent, said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." All of the challenges of the Pharisees were demolished by Jesus. They were left speechless, but they were unwilling to admit the error of their ways and to come to terms with the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus exposed their hypocrisy, and they became more and more determined to exterminate Him, even by deceitful and malicious means. The spirit of the Pharisees is still with us today. Sometimes when people come asking questions, you have to wonder, what is the motive? And what are they going to do with your answers? Sometimes I run into members of other churches in this city, and they ask me what I think about certain things. I have not always been wise with my responses. I have sometimes just blurted out how I feel, and that is a mistake, because you never know what their motive might be, and you never know what they are going to do with your answer. I've got a lot to learn from Jesus about how to answer people's questions. There are a couple of devious possibilities that lie behind this question of the Pharisees. There were some popular rabbis in Jerusalem at the time whose teachings on divorce found favor among the people. Perhaps the Pharisees thought that they could pit the teaching of Jesus on this issue against that of the popular rabbis and incite opposition against Him. They could discredit Jesus among the people. Jesus is against your favorite rabbi. The location may have had something to do with this question. Mark 10:1 says, "And He left there and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan." He left Caesarea and went to the region of Judea and beyond the Jordan. Does that sound familiar to you at all? The region beyond the Jordan? This just happens to be the territory ruled by Herod Antipas near where John the Baptist's ministry occurred. Now, if you remember what happened to John the Baptist, you can imagine what the Pharisees might have had in mind in asking Jesus this question here. They're in Perea. Perea is the place ruled by Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, one of the sons of Herod the Great, was a wicked man. He was married, but he lusted after his brother's wife, who was also related to him, and he took his brother's wife, his own relative, and he married her. And that led to an encounter with John the Baptist. Mark chapter 6, verse 17. Herod himself had sent and had John arrested and bound in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." You can't just divorce your wife even though you are a pagan. You can't divorce your wife and steal another man's wife. That is adultery. That's what John the Baptist was saying, boldly saying to King Herod. Well, Herodias didn't like that. She had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death. She finally figured out a way to do it when her daughter danced and the king made a foolish promise and John's head was served up on a platter. When John confronted the divorce in the life of Herod Antipas and Herodias, it cost him his life. This is clever thinking on the part of the Pharisees, because they're in the territory of Herod Antipas right now. They may not have been very far from his fortress at Machaerus, the prison where John the Baptist had been kept and where he was beheaded. If they could get Jesus to speak out against divorce here, they might arouse the anger of Herodias against him, and they might achieve the same results as with John the Baptist. You see, they were not interested in truth. They had a malicious intent behind their question to get rid of Jesus. In answer to the Pharisees' question, Jesus directed their inquiry to the law of God. In doing this, He set an example for us and emphasized where the authority for life's decisions lie. The authority is in the Word of God. We should not care what the majority opinion is. We should only care what the Word of God says. Jesus said, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." That is point number two. Point number one is the question about divorce was asked with hostile intent. Point number two is divorce was allowed under the law. It is true that Moses allowed for divorce, but Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of heart, He wrote you this commandment." In saying that, Jesus put His finger right on the root cause of every divorce that has ever taken place. Hardness of heart. Sin. In the beginning, before sin polluted the human race, there was no cause for divorce. Then sin invaded humanity. Genesis 3 tells the grim story. With the invasion of sin came all of its horrible consequences, not the least of which was the beginning of strife, both internal and external. Sin impacted everything and everyone. Conflict replaced harmony. War replaced peace. Sorrow replaced joy. Things like disobedience, rebellion, argumentation, and even murder became the status quo internationally, nationally, statewide, countywide, citywide, and in homes as well. Marriages were not exempt from strife caused by sin. Unlike the original match, husbands and wives became selfish, demanding, brutal, unfaithful, angry, hateful, and competitive. Because of the harsh presence and consequence of sin, divorce was permitted. Divorce became a way of salvaging something out of the wreckage. But Jesus points out that it was never God's original intention or desire. That is point number three. Divorce was not God's original plan. In the beginning, God meant for every marriage to be permanent. Jesus goes back to the beginning and restates God's original design for marriage. Here are the guidelines from God, our Creator, for marriage in Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." First of all, from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Marriage is between one male and one female. Secondly, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. This leaving of father and mother refers to the establishment of a new home, independent of parents. Thirdly, the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two but one flesh. There is a merging of mind and soul and heart and spirit into one harmonious unit. Fourthly, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Marriage is intended to be permanent. So anyone planning to get married should never have an exit strategy. Divorce should not even be an option. Jesus later reiterated to His disciples the seriousness of divorce. Verse 10 through 12 says, "And in the house the disciples asked Him again about this matter. And He said to them, 'Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery.'" It is clear that God intends for marriage to be permanent and that He hates divorce. So how are we to treat people who have experienced divorce? Shun them, right? No, not at all. We are to be compassionate toward them. Divorce is a hurtful, painful experience, and any divorce should make us feel sad. We should feel for people who experience divorce. We should try to help them heal the deep wounds and get on with their lives. But anyone now married who is contemplating divorce must realize that God is not for it. God intends for marriage to be permanent. I know that it takes a lot of effort and a lot of God's grace to do that. But this is biblical teaching on marriage. We need to learn to think biblically. We are deeply infected by worldly patterns of thinking, and we need to constantly bring our thoughts under Christ's authority. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. Sometimes the teaching in it seems hard, but we realize that it is only because our hearts are hard. Soften our hearts to receive Your Word. And cultivate Christian thinking in every area of our lives. Lord, grant us grace to hold up the standards of Your Word and to have joyful, loving, forgiving, permanent marriages and have Your blessing upon them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.